ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. Well, my baby just wrote me a letter.
Letters to the editor. That's always a good one, because it's the kind of thing we can do. Headline, declare victory in Iraq, comma, leave. Perfect. USA Today says we should stay in Iraq until a stable government and strong military in place. If we do that, however, we will never leave. If Bush really wanted to accomplish the goal, having a stable Iraqi government, strong military, we should have had more boots on the ground. Now, doesn't that make all the damn sense in the world? I heard that monkey say it again. Maybe I can even find the tape and splice it in. But he kept saying today that he's, when they asked him, what about more troops? He said, well, I'm going to do whatever the generals say because they're the experts and they know best. And everybody knows that's a lie. The generals that came to Bush and said we need more troops on the ground were fired or demoted or retired or just done away with. Hell, Bush might have had a few of them killed. Life doesn't mean anything to him. It again and again gives more credence to Randy Rhodes and my, not that we share, but the contention that chaos is what's putting all this money in Bush's pocket. If, because they failed to guard that, what is it, 2,500 pounds of C4? They failed to guard that. So now these crazy hand jobs have got unlimited C4 that'll blow up anything until the end of time. An ice cream scoop worth of this stuff will blow a tank up. It'll blow an armored personnel carrier up from underneath or whatever. And it kills all those people. And they've got thousands of tons of this stuff. The chaos is what's put in all the money in Bush's pocket. If he had sent enough soldiers over there to secure the country, then reporters could roam around and write about what's going on. But can you imagine after Katrina, what if he had sent 1,000 National Guard troops into control of New Orleans? Well, 1,000 people is not going to do it. You got a big city there. And 1,000 people is going to get you, what, 100 groups of 10? Well, there's more than 100 neighborhoods there. And 10 soldiers is not going to quiet down a neighborhood. You know, if you got 100 rioting people and you got snipers, you got every other damn thing in the world, 10 soldiers per section of town is not going to get the job done, but that's what they've done in Iraq. They have sent over so few soldiers. And I keep hearing from the liberals, oh, Hillary's a bad person. She's just like Bush. She's Bush's exact identical DNA match twin, because Hillary thinks we need more boots on the ground over there. Excuse me, but every military person I've heard of that's not loyalty beholden to Bush has agreed that we need more boots. If we're going to do it, we have to do it right. We can't turn around and leave, and that's another thing that people say, we got to leave right away. I haven't heard anyone address the subject. If we leave, Zakari, whatever that guy's name is, he gets the $100 million or the $200 million a day that Bush is stealing. Can we really give Zakari $150 million a day to do whatever he wants with? I don't think that's a good idea. You give a crazy man like that $100 million a day, and in 10 days he's got $1 billion, and $1 billion can probably buy an atomic bomb, and there goes New York, there goes LA, there goes a whole lot of places. So I think it's a bad idea to turn over Iraq's vast billions of dollars a day over to Zarqawi. But the left wing, when we argue about this, they seem to not want to bring that subject up. When they say, we got to get out right now, well, you just made Zarqawi the new sheriff. Is that a good idea? I don't think it is. I don't think the military people think it is. Apparently Hillary doesn't think so. I don't think the Pentagon thinks so. The only people that think we should stay there forever are Bush's buddies. The liberals say we got to get them home today, and somewhere in the middle, I think, is the same position. I remember during Vietnam, you know, they said it was going to take years to get out. And you think, well, why don't you just turn and run? Well, I don't know. I'm not much on the military. I'm not a military man. But it seems to me you got to have enough soldiers over there to do the job, and we don't have that. So that gives them the chaos that allows Bush to steal his $100 million a day. And as far as how many soldiers are dying every day, he doesn't care. You give an oil man $100 million a day, he doesn't care how many. So it's not like Bush is going to these funerals. It's not like these are wealthy soldiers dying over there. These are the poor. These are the black. These are the rural soldiers. These are the ones with the low IQs. But somewhere in my stack, I have a story that says the majority of the soldiers over there are the smart ones. They said something like 75% of the regular Americans, or whatever, non-military, graduated high school, but 95 or something percent of the military has. And I don't believe that's true at all. They keep lowering the standards for the military to get someone to sign up. But they're trying to sell us the idea that 95% of them, it might even have been 98% of them, had high school diplomas. I think we're being lied to. Oh, and a little sidebar here. It's been so long since I did some radio that we might have to do our first double-double issue. This might have to be a 4CD because my stack is very big. What happened a long time ago, the stack got very big, and it got so big, the cat Bart, he likes to what we call surf. If I get a big stack of papers there, he likes to stand on it. And he knows if he shifts his weight just a little bit, he can start riding that wave as the big giant stack of papers fall. And one day it fell, and it fell around my chair. And I thought, well, I'll do a radio show tomorrow. And each time I pick up a piece of paper, I'll talk about it, and I'll throw it in a trash can or wrap some CDs in it to ship out or something. But I'm so late doing the radio that I'm surrounded. Oh, if someone were to drop a match, I'd be Joan of Arc. So yeah, well, that's a little sidebar there, but we got a thousand things to talk about. This could be a big, big show. Back to this letter to the editor. If Bush really wanted to accomplish the goal of having a stable Iraq, strong military, we should have had more boots on the ground. Given the climate of the times, though, I don't think it will happen. Even with the U.S. presence in Iraq, chaos and a civil war are evident. The longer we stay, the more dependent Iraqis will become on our soldiers, which is very true. If you're an Iraqi guy standing there, would you rather have the superpower protecting you or the local hand job that can't figure out which end of the gun to put in his mouth? The longer we stay there, the more dependent they'll be on us. We accomplished our goal getting rid of Saddam. We should declare victory and leave. How many more Americans have to die in vain because of the incompetency of a president who is unfit to hold any form of office, let alone the presidency? Reba Shemansky in New York. Reba, you sound like someone who reads Barkup.com. If you do and have or had, why don't you just call the Bart phone or send me an email. I'd like to say congratulations to you. Here's one on this John Murtha. Always respected Murtha's military and congressional service, but I disagree with his recent editorial on whether the United States should pull out immediately. Now, I like Murtha. I like what he said. But what is wrong with the guy when he says we got to pull the troops out as soon as it is practicable? What the fuck kind of word is practicable? I never heard of the damn word. I'm 52. I've heard of most words, but I never heard of practicable. So I went to the Merriam-Webster, whatever that's called. It's m-w.com, I think. And I looked up practicable, and basically it means practical. So what this guy Murtha was saying basically is bring them home as soon as we can. But because he spoke stupid, because he used silly words that nobody knows what they mean, everybody, it's like the Second Amendment, everybody got to interpret it different. So you got the Democrats saying, we can't leave immediately, we can't leave immediately. Well, granted, we can't leave immediately, but that's not what he said. He said as soon as it's practical. If we can, I think he said starting the first of the year, why don't we start drawing down the troops? And then, you know, I guess he's talking about whatever parts of the country are most stable. Let's pull those guys out first, and then, you know, as time goes by, whatever, we move out. But no, because he used stupid language, because he used language that other people could manipulate, now he's become the idiot. He's the guy who wants to give Zakari the $100 million a day. John, why didn't you use... Did you talk to John Kerry? Did Kerry help you with your speech, John? Is that what happened? You talked to someone who with gobbledygook in their brain and marbles in his mouth to help form your message? And here you are, a household name now, and you're known as the crazy guy who wants to do the impractical. Matter of fact, because you used stupid words, John, they took a vote the next day, and you lost 403-3, I believe the vote was. Now, John, when you lose over 99-1, that means you made a mistake somewhere. And granted, the bad guys twisted your words, and they turned it all around on you, and the idiot gelding Democrats, they decided to stab you in the back, because that's what idiot gelding Democrats do. You know, you couldn't get anyone to stand up for you because you used the wrong words. Why couldn't you have said, John, why couldn't you have said it would have been so easy to say, we've got to get these troops home now. All they're doing over there is dying. I think we should have fewer dead. Does anyone disagree with that? And everyone's going to say, oh, no, we're all for fewer dead. Okay, so let's start bringing them home. Let's bring them home as quick as we can, as safe as we can. You know, if you just use kind of normal talk, but no, practicable, practicable, practicable. practicable, whatever the hell that means. So then the monkey and Karl Rove, they turned it around to being less surrendered to Zarqawi and cut and run, and that, oh, that bitch, that Jean Schmidt, don't get me started on Jean Schmidt, because I'm liable to call her a word that we don't use on Barkout.com. As a matter of fact, Mrs. Bart told me a funny story. She was listening to Randy Rhoads, and Randy Rhoads was explaining the origin of the C word, which I didn't know. She said, I think it had something to do with a cave, and so she didn't want to call Jean Schmidt the C word, so she called her a caver or something like that, and I don't know, you know, I get dizzy when I think about things like that, but somehow Randy Rhoads wanted to call her the C word, and she sort of semi around the bend did that, but who in the world is Gene Smart to stand up and look at a man who's got bullets in his ass? No, that's Kerry. But Murtha was wounded in Vietnam. I just don't know, you know, a couple Purple Hearts, Medal of Honor. They give him some kind of Vietnamese medal. I don't think I'd want a Vietnamese medal, would you? I mean, doesn't it sound, you know, I understand what they meant, but he won the Vietnamese Valor Medal something. That just sounds wrong. All the medals should start out with the United States, the Congressional, the Presidential, something like that, instead of the... But anyway, here this guy went over there, fought for his country, took bullets, and then that slut calls him a coward. Oh, lady, you don't want to do that. You just did so wrong. And I think this is a lady who barely beat that Hastings fella. I believe Hastings is going to run for Senate in 06. So, but Gene Schmidt, your time is coming. Your days are numbered. I would enjoy dancing on your grave, whatever. But anyway, a couple letters to the editor. Let's close this segment out, do another.
Is a Pulitzer Prize winning New York Times columnist and the author of this best-selling book entitled Are Men Necessary? Here's the lovely Maureen Dowd, everyone. She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist. I'm not sure that's what you want there.
It ain't necessarily.
Oh, I see. Judith Miller, a colleague, former colleague. She resigned or she was squeezed out or both?
Mm. Oh, is that the question?
Well, first of all, was she squeezed out or did she resign?
Well, she was on your show. Remember that?
I thought maybe that.
You had a little sneaker for her. You told her you liked her haircut.
Yeah, I remember. She was a quite lovely woman.
Yeah.
But here's what I thought. She goes to jail. She's in jail for like 85 days. And I thought, well, good for her. She's sticking up for everything she ought to be sticking up for. Now, did we all agree with that?
Well, then it was just a little bit of a problem when she came out of jail, because then that muddied the issue.
Right.
And it wasn't clear whether she could have had the deal in the beginning.
But while she was in jail, were we all behind her, supporting her? Good for you. You don't have to reveal your source. Good for you, having the guts, sticking to the principle and going to jail for it, to strengthen your convictions.
Well, basically, the problem with Judy was the same problem as Bob Woodward. They just needed a little more adult supervision.
So she was a printing story about the possibility of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And
right.
She was getting, her source was who for those stories?
Well, one, you know, she was very close to Chalabi and the neocons and the administration. And then when she wrote her own account of it in the New York Times, she said that she had gotten it totally wrong on weapons of mass destruction, but that she was only as good as her sources. So then I wrote a column. I just said that's not good enough, because investigative reporting is not stenography. Mm-hmm. You can't just put it in the paper and then let the administration use it to help make the phony case for war.
But her article, how about that? Take a bow. And her articles actually were of great influence, weren't they, for the administration in persuading people that the weapons actually did exist.
Yes, because then what the New York Times wrote could get in the president's speeches, and it was like an echo chamber. It seemed like there were more sources for WMD than there were. There was only like Chalabi trying to take
right.
over Iraq.
Right.
So.
And then, in addition to that now, we have the Scooter Libby situation.
Right.
And as I understand it, the story was that she had received the name Valerie Plame from Scooter Libby doing research for an article that never was printed.
Right,
is
that's
that
right.
So how, since it was never printed, are things different if it's not printed, or are they the same?
No, I mean, it was never printed, but, you know, this whole Fitzgerald case is very confusing. Don't you find it confusing?
I'm dizzy, yeah. Honest to God.
Right. Okay, so do you want me to explain what you need to know about it?
Please do what
okay.
you can.
You don't have to pay attention to anything that's happening, and you only need to remember two words.
Mm-hmm.
Cheney's guilty.
All right, that'll be very useful for me. And how are things generally down there with the polls still low, I guess, for President Bush? What is a guy, he has nothing really he can do. He's got 3 years left. He's not really going to run for re-election. He's going to leave the Republican Party in a mess. The administration is crumbling. Is crumbling, is not crumbling.
Well, there's a reporter for the New York Daily News named Tom DeFrank who wrote a story, who has very good sources, and he wrote a story this week saying that embattled White House aides are so concerned about the way things are going that they think the president might personally have to take the reins of his own presidency.
That's the last thing you want to do if you're...
So things are so dire, the president might have to be president.
Who does the president talk to in a situation like this? Is he talking to his father? Does he get advice from his father?
Well, there have been reports that he is angry at his father because now instead of... He was trying to use his father as a reverse playbook and do everything the opposite, mm-hmm. thinking he'd get one up on him in the history books. But now the reverse has happened, that he's made his father look better in the history books. So he's mad at his father. And he's kind of mad at the surrogate dark father, Dick Cheney, because Dick Cheney has kind of ruined his presidency. Mm-hmm. So he's in a bunker, in an undisclosed location, in a bunker.
And for the next election, because the war probably will still be going on for the next election, does that mean that they will vote for the Republicans rather than switch horses in midstream, as they say, or will everybody be so fed up that it will be, in fact, a Democratic president?
Well, I think the main thing that I am concerned about as a citizen and a journalist, and I will be voting for Hillary because I want to see Bill Clinton be first lad.
So he would be right there in the White House with his wife.
He would be having so much fun. And the best thing would be, he gave her a West Wing office to share power, but there's no way she would let him
she
into the West
that,
Wing.
No,
no.
Saw a headline involved a liberal test. Headline, teacher faces quiz over liberal test questions. And this is kind of a funny story. Like to hear it? Here you go. Bennington, Vermont. This comes from the Associated Whore Press, so it might be true, it might not. They might have made it up. Maybe it really happened. There's no way to tell. It's the Associated Press. They are a whore news organization. They fabricate stories whenever they choose. I don't like them. Bennington, Vermont. A high school teacher is facing questions from administrators after giving a vocabulary quiz that included digs at Dermonkey in the extreme right. Brett Chenkin, Chenkin, a social studies and English teacher at Mount Anthony Union High School, said he gave his quiz to his students several months ago. The quiz asked students to pick the proper words to complete sentences. One example, quote, I wish Bush would be A, coherent, B, eschewed, close quotes, for once during a speech. But there are theories that his everyday diction charms the below average mind, hence ensuring him Republican votes. He gotta like that. Coherent is the right answer. So what the student should have written was, I wish Bush would be coherent for once during a speech, but there are theories that his everyday diction charms the below-average mind, hence ensuring him Republican votes. Principal Sue McGuire said she hopes to speak to whoever complained about the quiz and any students who might be concerned. She said she also would talk with Chinkin. School Superintendent Wesley Knapp said he's taking the situation seriously. It's absolutely unacceptable. Harumph! Harumph! Knapp said. These teachers don't have a license to hold forth on a particular standpoint. What the hell does that mean? These teachers don't have a license to hold forth. What is that? Is that English? They don't have a license to hold forth? What does that mean? I know different parts of the country got different little colloquialisms and little parochial etc. etc. But these teachers don't have a license to hold forth on a point? Dude, I get it. You're in the Senate. You don't speak English. Chinkin, 36, a teacher for several years, said he isn't shy about sharing his liberal views with students as a way of prompting debate, but said the quizzes are being taken out of context. The kids know it's hyperbolic, so to speak, he said. They know it's tongue-in-cheek. But he said he would change his teaching methods if some are concerned. I'll put in both sides, he said, especially if it's going to cause a lot of grief. What he means is he'll put in both sides if not doing so causes a lot of grief. He's an English teacher. Why should he be expected to speak normal? Jesus Christ, once again, uneducated bird cop, IQ of 64, a plainer speaker than anybody you're going to find. This English teacher can't figure out what the hell he's saying. The school is in Bennington, a community of about 16,000 in the southwest corner of the state. Well, I'm glad I knew that. Well, the whole story changes now. Hell, if they'd have been in northeast corner of Vermont, well, it'd have been a whole different subject. But if they're in the southwest, well, now a new light. Dumbass. All right, what else we got? Oh, here's another story on Ramsey Clark. Ramsey, here's one I don't get. Trial nears for man accused of terror plot. Now, this is older. This is October. He's already had his trial. He's been found guilty. And again, you don't know if this is the end of the world or if the idiots who filed this, they don't say, so it's USA Today. These idiots, they're incapable of making a coherent point. I don't understand how a fellow becomes a professional reporter, a professional writer. He gets paid to write, and he doesn't make a damn bit of sense. Here's the story. Trial nears for man accused of terror plot. Jury selection begins today in Alexandria, Virginia, for a man charged with joining Al-Qaeda and plotting to assassinate Bush. On Monday, a judge rejected a request by his lawyers for Ahmed Omar Abu Ali. Now, see, he's guilty. You can tell by his name. He's guilty. Ahmed Omar Abu Ali. That's guilty as it can be. His name might as well be Ahmad Guilty. That his confession be thrown out because it was tainted through torture by the Saudis. Well, dude, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with this world? All right, let me finish. It might make more sense. Abu Ali, 24, testified that the Saudi security force known as the Mubahith whipped him on his back, kicked him in the stomach, and pulled on his beard. Oh, that's going too far. To obtain a confession, but prosecutors said Abu Ali's confession was voluntary. Well, of course it is. After you torture the guy, you can't shut him up. Jesus Christ. You put a guy's balls in the kerosene, and you strike a match from a foot away and say, dude, would you like to talk? He's auditioning for the Met. You can't shut him up. Jesus Christ. Remember what they used to tell us about in Vietnam? They would take a couple of Vietnamese guys up in the chopper, and they'd get up at like 1,000 feet, and they'd grab the first one and say, tell us where the enemy is, and he'd say no. Hey, throw him out the window, out the big wide door on the helicopter. Then they look at that second guy, and he's a wabber-jabbering. Well, you can't shut him up. That's what they do in Saudi Arabia. They hook things up to your genitals, and you start talking. You're going to give them something. You might not know anything, but you're not going to shut up. You're not going to be silent. Okay, they put up da-da-da-da-da. But prosecutor said Abu Ali's confession was voluntary, citing a 13-minute videotaped confession given by Abu Ali in which he ad-libbed jokes and pantomimed the use of an assault rifle. Well, so
after they torture this guy, and after he confesses, they tell him, now we're going to turn the camera back on, and we want you to look friendly and nice, like we didn't just torture you. Because if you don't, we're hooking you back up to the, we're hooking those electrical things back up to your balls. And it's like, oh yeah, I could be a funny son of a bitch if it means avoiding those electricity on my balls, you betcha. Abu Ali was arrested in June 2003 while taking final exams at the Islamic University of Medina. Now, here's where my problem comes in with this shit writing. I assume Medina is in Saudi Arabia. I have to assume. I know they have a Medina, but hell, they probably got a Medina, Texas. So this guy's at the Islamic University of Medina taking class. The Saudi police pull him out of class, take him somewhere, torture him, even to the point of pulling on his beard. While he was still being held in Medina, wait. University of Medina. Abu Ali claimed the torture occurred the next day while he was still being held in Medina after he refused on multiple occasions to speak with interrogators. The Saudis denied it. He faces up to life in prison. Well, now, it appears, from what we can piece together with the shit writing from the USA Today, who people have no effing idea in the world how to write a story, it appears that this kid is a Saudi, I assume, with a name like Ahmad Omar Abu Ali, and he's going to school in Medina, Saudi Arabia. They pull this kid out of class and torture him, and then he finally confesses like anybody's going to do. You people that tell me torture doesn't work, I wonder what makes you tick. So they torture this guy until he confesses. So then they fly him to Virginia to put him on trial. What the fuck is up with that? Doesn't every Saudi student that is, well, whatever, wouldn't you imagine 80 or 90% of the college students at Medina University, don't they all want Bush dead? Isn't that pretty honest or isn't that pretty given? Don't you think the majority of Saudi Arabians want Bush dead? It's kind of a given. I mean, it's, you know, they're always saying they start over there, you know, in grade school, in elementary school, they teach these kids that Americans are bad, Westerners are bad, and it's all sex and drugs and hedonism and man piles and Abu Ghraib and bitches on leashes and making guys blow each other and taking pictures of it so they can laugh about it. They're always telling us that's what they teach these kids. So these kids grow up thinking America's the great Satan. And then they go pull this kid out of class, ship him to Alexandria, Virginia, put him on trial. Of course, he was found guilty. Guilty, 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 guilty. So I guess what, he's either going to jail for the rest of his life or they're going to shoot him in the head. I don't understand besides our military might, what gives us the right. You know, like Noriega. Noriega was president of whatever you call it, premier, whatever you call it, president of Panama. And he did a lot of Bush. He did a lot of business with Bush over the years. And at some point, he did something wrong. And they decided, well, you're no longer a partner. You're a drug smuggler. So what we're going to do, we're going to invade your country. We're going to kidnap you. We're going to take you to Florida. And we're going to put you on trial in Florida for crimes that you may or may not have committed while you were the president of Panama. What gives us the right to go pull people out of other countries, drag them to our shores, and put them on trial for an American crime? And to some degree, I'm pro-drug, but not to this degree. The idea that you can grab these Medellin cartel guys off the street in Bogota and fly them to Virginia to put them on trial for smuggling. Hey, how do you commit a crime, an American crime, in another country? I guess it's just because we've got the tanks and the planes and the satellites and the bombs and the guns that we just do whatever we want. And if you have a problem with that, well, we'll go Fallujah on your ass, and that'll be the name of that. It's not that I'm a bleeding heart liberal, to be fair to this guy, but he's a student in a school in Saudi Arabia, and they pulled him out of class, tortured him till he confessed. Then they ship him to Alexandria, where the judge says, I don't care that you were tortured. Your confession stands. It's like, oh, okay. This is America. I love it here. We got a constitution. Sure. That sounds fair. The fuck is going on? I'm surrounded.
he's got more balls than all the Democrats in Congress combined. It's Bart Cop Radio.